Good evening. Greet you in Jesus' name. Enjoyed that last song we just sang. It talked about inviting God's presence here tonight. It talked about inviting God's presence as we run a race. That race of life. And you know, we need God's presence if we're going to run. I couldn't help but let my mind just wander just a little bit. As I come up here and I sat down up front, I've seen a lot of brothers that I know. I feel like I have a lot of friends here from the past. There was a group of you used to worship together at Calvary. And there's not very many of you left anymore. Brother Lamar, I see Brother Linford back there. I remember Brother Linford being a friend in our youth group. And I clearly remember one of the last Sundays we were together, he said, "Vernon, we don't have to let this stop our friendship. We're going to continue to do things together." He probably forgot he said that. But here we are, 30 years later, however long it's been. And God has still been with us, guiding our journey, helping us run the race together. And that's what gives us confidence tonight. Running the race is a very practical subject, one that y'all can relate to. We know what it's like to run a race. I don't know how many of you young men, maybe sitting here tonight, likes to run. Maybe some ladies like to run too. Running's a good exercise, but if you're going to run more than a little bit, it takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of work. I think about the marathons that happen around our country. There's a very popular one that happens in Boston. It's called the Boston Marathon. Happens every year on April 20. And so here just a month ago it happened that there was a marathon, 30,000 people gathered together to run a race. They were there to run a race. It wasn't just no little race. 26.2 miles. That 30,000 people said, "I want to run a race. I want to win that race. I want to put the energy and the effort forth to run 26.2 miles. I wonder how many of you tonight have that kind of energy and effort that you're willing to put into your life to do something. You know, I'm just getting old enough. It just feels pretty good just to stay sitting on the bench. But there's an element. Statistics say less than 1% of Americans will ever run in a marathon. And yet, God wants us all to be running the race together. We'll look at that in just a little bit. Back to the Boston Marathon. 30,000 people. And you know what I think has driven those people? Well, it's the prize. $150,000 cash prize if you run the race and win. How much effort would you put forth to win $150,000? All you got to do is run 26.2 mile and you can have it. And there was new records broke this past month. There was a man from Kenya. His name is John. Broke his own personal record. And he ran it in just a little over two hours. 26.2 miles in over in 2 hours. That's some fast sprinting. And that's incredible. But you know, the story went on that there was more incredible things happening. There was 30,000 people that wanted to win the race. They wanted to make it to the end, to collect the 150,000, or maybe they were running to simply beat their own personal record. People like to do that. They, you know, ran it last year, we'll run it this year, I can do better than I did last year. It's a great incentive. And so those 30,000 were running. There was another man that was running. His name was AJ, was a local person from Massachusetts. He was a student at the university there. Young man, I'm going to put him at age 20. I don't know how old he was. And he was running and running and running. He got to mile 26 and he fell over. He couldn't go anymore. This is true. You can go research this. He was running and he gave it all he had until his legs cramped up so bad. And he was so thirsty and he was dehydrated that he couldn't just go anymore. And he fell over. And there he lays on the ground, and there's 30,000 people running past him because they're running to the end. He's at mile marker 26, 2/10 of a mile to go. They said 1,000 feet from the finish line. And he couldn't do it. He tried to get up. He tried to get his feet back up under him, and he was just too spent. And he couldn't, and he toppled back over. And he tried again. He says he was so dedicated, he said, I was going to crawl that last 1,000 feet if I had to. But he didn't have to, because there was another runner that was out to beat his best performance. And he said, there's a man that's struggling. And so he run over there, and he said, I can help him. And so he throwed his arms around him and picked him up. But AJ was too far, and he couldn't even get his legs to work right. And they were struggling there to try to get him back on his feet. And there was a third runner that come running over, and they got on either side of AJ, one on either side. AJ linked his arms over their shoulders, and they ran to the finish line, carrying him. And I saw a video of it. And his feet weren't working. They were dragging. They were slowing them down. And these two men, I wish I could say they were Americans, but they were actually foreigners. They were from, one was from Northern Ireland, and the other was from Brazil. They gave up their own best performance, their best time, to run this race to help someone else in need so that they could finish the race together. Running the race together. I love the title because we're not here just to run a race. We are here to run a race together. That word together just makes all the difference. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. It's for a theme verse that we'll look at this evening. Scripture talks several places about running a race. But I like Hebrews 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run the race that is set before us. We should look at verse 2 yet. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, that's our goal. That's our finish line. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one we're going to focus on tonight. There's a lot of people that run races in this world. You can talk about the Boston Marathon. See, they were running with their eyes focused on the goal at the end of the race. Or maybe they were running with the idea that my name will be printed as a top 10 performance. It's not what we're here to do tonight. We are to run with patience the race that is set before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus. We could go to Philippians 3:13. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You know, that's the one thing that is the most important to you is what you'll do. I don't know what that was today. But whatever you thought was the one thing that was the most important, that's what you did. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ, in calling of God in Christ Jesus. Is that my goal tonight? That there's one thing that I'll do, forgetting all these other things, I'm going to press on. We're going to run this race. Now, we talk about the race a lot. And when I talk about the Boston Marathon race, When I use the word race, you know, your mind probably automatically goes to someone that's going to win. It's a race of competition. I'm going to run faster than Brother Nolan. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to get the prize, and he's going to lose. See, that's a race. We're out to outpace somebody to win. You have winners and losers. You have somebody that's getting ahead, and you have people that's getting behind. But that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. When we had this title given to us to run the race together, this isn't about outpacing the brethren here at Blue Ridge. This is about running together. It's about a race of faithfulness, of not giving up and here to help each other. And that's what we want to look at tonight, that we are here to help each other. Being faithful. It's not about competition. It's about faithfulness. Church is not a track full of rivals. We don't go to a church that's full of rivals. We're not trying to beat each other out. Instead, we're a church group, like a family, traveling home together, running the race together. Now, I thought about this word run just a little bit. And we use that word. I mean, we read it in Hebrews, running the race. Let us run the race that is set before us. And that word run gives me the idea of urgency, something that's going to happen. I mean, if there was a fire here, we would all go running out the door because there's urgency, there's a problem. And there's a certain aspect that we're running the race. But this idea is more that we are on a journey together. I wondered why we wouldn't say that we walk the race. Well, then it loses the idea of a race, doesn't it? But there is the concept throughout scriptures. We're going to look at that a little more later. That God wants us to walk with him. We are here to run a race walking with God. Step by step, walking with God. I think it speaks of a relationship with him. We could summarize the sermon here tonight in one sentence. It says, God has called us to run the race faithfully, not selfishly, patiently, not proudly, and together, not alone. And I think that just probably sums it up. We are here to run together. Patiently with each other, and that we can all make it to the end. I have several points that I'd like to look at tonight, thinking about this race of life, running it together. Point number one is we all have a race. Whether you really want to run a marathon tonight or not, God has set you on a course for your life, and you all have a journey of life, a race of life that God has seen fit to put you on. Your race is different than my race. Your journey is different than my... Our journeys are different. And you know, it's so easy to start looking around and saying, well, I wish I could have a life like Brother Jerry. I mean, he don't have a problem. His life is easy. He's retired. Guess you are. He says he's not. Well, you know, it's easy to look at people's lives and think that they got it so much better. And poor old me, I got to work every day of my life. God has given you a journey, and God has put me on a journey. And our lives take different courses. Come in here tonight, and a brother said, I guess your life has taken a different dimension since the last time you were here. And that is true. God has called me to do a different work. And you know, I have to learn to accept that. And it's easy to look at everyone else and say, well, why can't I be like them? But we can't do that. God has called us, put us on a journey, and we all have our own race to run. See, that's what it says. Let us run the race. Let us run the race. It doesn't say, you're on a journey by yourself, but let us, we're together. I don't have to run this race by myself. I don't have to face life by myself. I have a church family. I have brothers and sisters that care about me. Let us run the race. Each one of us needs to answer to God for the way that we've run our race. Again, it's not about the competition. Again, about getting ahead. And we live in a world where that's the name of the game. To get ahead. To be glad when a brother falls down. To be glad when AJ stumbles and falls and he can't get up because, praise the Lord, I just one step closer to winning the race. One less competitor. That's not what God has called his people to be. We are here to run a race to help each other. It's not about being first. It's not about making a name for myself. It's not about outshining others. Jesus taught the exact opposite. Matthew 20, verse 27, he says, whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even the disciples were concerned about who's going to be the greatest, right? They were saying, in our race of life, I wonder who's the greatest. And we look at each other and we begin to rate ourselves of who's the most influential? Who has the most power here? What was Jesus' answer? Well, in Luke 22, it says, there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And we know that God, that Jesus told them to be a servant. Galatians 5:26 says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. The thought is that we're not here trying to run a race by myself to make a name for myself. Yes, we're running a race. Yes, we're in a journey of life. But we have to make a choice what kind of a race I want to run. And tonight we want to run a race together. Not desirous of vainglory, but thinking about my brothers and my sisters as they run. Point number two. So the first point is we all have a race that we're going to run. Number two is we must keep our eyes focused on Jesus, our goal. It's very elementary. You knew that. That's what it says. Looking unto Jesus. And so we keep our eyes focused. When I think about keeping my eyes focused, I think about trying to mow grass and mow lines with a zero-turn mower and make a nice straight line. And you know, the minute you start looking around to see if I'm off course a little bit, you're going back and forth, back and forth. And my son says, Dad, you don't know how to mow grass. You see, the results are seen. People can see your choices of life. But let us run a race, our eyes focused on Jesus, and it's going to be a straight line course. Now, it's not that easy, is it? Because it's life. But you can't run a race if you don't keep your eyes focused on the goal. If I'm trying to run a race and my goal is out there at the back end of the church, but I'm more worried about what's happening out here in the parking lot, and I'm keeping my eyes focused out there on what's happening to that car, I'm going to stumble and fall. I'm going to run smack into these benches, or I'm going to run into people. And yet, we try to run a race that way. We try to say, oh, I want to be focused on the Lord. I'm going to run the race, and yet I've got all these distractions. And we stumble and we fall, and we wonder why. We must keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Keep Jesus central in our life. Philippians 3 says it well. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was pressing toward the mark. He was not pressing against his brethren, was he? He was running together. He was running a race together. Just making it practical tonight. When we keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, that means we're not focused on ourselves. We're not running a race for my own benefit. Instead, we're not fighting for first place. We're not fighting for attention. We're not fighting for competition. We stop measuring ourselves against others. And we run with our eyes focused on Jesus. It keeps us our goal in mind. The third point that I have is we must choose to run together. It's a choice that I want to make, that I want to run together. I don't want to have to run a lonely race. We live in a world where people are trying to run their own race. They don't want to be accountable to a church. They don't want to live a life where their actions are accountable to their brothers. They don't want to submit to church rules. They don't need a church at all. I can have my own relationship with Jesus Christ. And they're out there trying to run their race by themselves. And it's a lonely race. I have clients that are getting old, elderly. And they have health issues. And they start to struggle with life because I'm sick, I'm dying, and my family don't care, and that's all I have. I can't even comprehend because I have a church family that cares. There's a body of believers around us, and that's one of the reasons we want to be together, a part of a church group, that there's a body of believers to carry us when we stumble and we fall. None of us are perfect. And there's times in our life where we do stumble. There's times in our life where we do fall. And we need each other. But it's a choice that I need to make, that I want to run with you together. We will run together. We need each other. Romans says, Romans 12:5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We need each other. But then that means that your actions affect me. See, if AJ had a whole bunch of books strapped to his back in his backpack, that would have added 50 pounds when those two men tried to pick him up. See, if I have a lot of baggage in my life, it weighs my brothers down. We're trying to run a race. We want to make it to the end. We want to be faithful. And yet the actions of my life can either help or hinder the people that are running with me. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, and whether one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. See, we are here to work together. And we realize what each brother or sister is facing in their life. It takes a life of transparency. It takes a life of openness. That I can look at your life and say, brother, you have a need in your life. You're struggling. Sisters, you need to be there to support each other, to come beside, just like AJ. They picked him up at a time of he needed help and was able to carry him on. We must choose to run together. Point number four is we must lay aside the things that hinder us. And that's taken right from Hebrews 12. It talks about laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And into practical term, if you're going to run a race, you're not going to carry a lot of luggage with you. You're going to go as light as possible because you're going to need all the energy for your race. And there's a certain degree that that's true with our spiritual lives. Laying aside all the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Sin has no part in our life. And yet, I see godly people trying to court just a little bit of sin. And they're trying to run a race. And they can't figure out why they can't run. They can't figure out why they have no strength. They can't figure out why they're stumbling and falling. And yet, they're not being open and honest with themselves. Sin will take us down. It talks about sin and weight. And I thought about using an illustration tonight, bringing a garbage bag, filling it up with a whole bunch of songbooks up here, and slinging it over my shoulder, and carrying that weight on my shoulder, and continuing to preach. And eventually, it just starts to get heavy. And you'd be like, Vernon, don't be so dumb. Just lay it down. And I continue to hold this old bag over my shoulders. And yet, godly people are doing that. They're taking the sin, the weight, the filth of this world, things that they don't want to let go, slinging them over their back and hanging on to them. Let's talk about what some of these weights could be. I think a weight that slows us down, I know that slows us down, is bitterness. See, when we run the race of life, we all have a journey. We're all on a journey. And you all have a story to tell. I had to think about all the years that went past from the time that Blue Ridge was a part of Calvary Church. And all the different relationships that has happened since then. And somewhere along the line, I'm sure you have been hurt. I'm sure you have been treated wrongly. I'm sure the ministry haven't treated you the way that you thought they should have treated you. We're human. And every one of us has a reason to become bitter. There's things in our life that just did not turn out the way we ever expected. And we could just keep all those little details and keep throwing them in our bag and slinging them on our shoulder. And I could tell you in detail how I was treated by Mr. So-and-so. Bitterness. I've seen bitter people that can rehash life's history to the very detail of how bad they've been treated. God has said, lay it down. take that old weight of bitterness, throw it in the back of your, throw it in the trash. With God's help, we cannot run a race with bitterness being a part of our journey. Maybe it's not, maybe you're not bitter, but maybe we're jealous of a brother or a sister, or maybe we struggle with being proud of our accomplishments, proud of our achievements. Maybe we are getting too attached to the things of this world. Or maybe it's the weight of always needing to be have the last word. You know, all these little things are things that can weigh us down. And if we're going to run a race, we need to lay them off. The point is, we need to lay off the things that hinder us. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you." If we're going to run a race, we cannot keep tripping each other with bitterness, criticism, and suspicion. What weight is slowing me down tonight? What's slowing you down in your Christian life? What's slowing you down with your relationship with Jesus Christ? Point number five is, when running a race together, we cannot become distracted. We must not become distracted. And it's so easy to become distracted. See, if I'm, as I said, if I'm trying to run a race at the back of this church and I'm distracted with what's happening all around us, I've lost a race. I can't be running a race and keep looking back to see where you all, you know, how far back there are you? How far ahead am I? If I'm distracted with what's happening behind, I'll stumble and fall. We must not get distracted. And I'd just like to look at several distractions that come into our life. I think we all struggle with these distractions. And I think the first distraction that I struggle with is this distraction of comparison. That I begin to look at all you brothers and I begin to compare my race with your race, with my job with your job, my journey of life with your journey of life. And I can become so upset with how life has dealt me a hard blow and how you have it so easy. And how, you know how it is, our minds can just, I just wish I was more like Brother Jimmy. He's just got it figured out. And Jimmy is just, he has money for taking a vacation and going places he wants to go. I can imagine he does. I don't know Brother Jimmy's life, and that's what we do. We look at people's lives and we begin to imagine all kinds of things that we really don't have facts for. That's what comparison does. We have a journey. And I have, God has called me to run my own race. I cannot allow the distraction of comparison. I begin to compare myself with others, I will usually become proud or discouraged. If I think I'm ahead of everybody, I'm going to become proud. If I think I'm not measuring up, I become discouraged. God didn't ask us to run each other's race. He simply said, be faithful in your own race. And take time to be faithful to each other. We have the distraction of offenses. In Psalm 119, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." The closer we run with Jesus Christ, the less we struggle with offenses. But again, it's a race of life, and life brings offense. People don't treat us right. People didn't say the right thing. People looked at me wrong, and I become offended. And I put them in my bag and I sling them over my shoulder and I try to run a race. The distraction of offenses. Someone didn't notice me. Or someone corrected me. Or someone misunderstood. Or someone didn't thank me for leading songs. And the list could go on and on. Offenses. I can become offended about anything if I choose to. But we cannot allow that to be a part of my life. We have the distraction of this world. And that's a huge one. See, God put us in this world to run a race, but our race is different than the world in which we're living. Totally different. The race that this world is living is all about themselves, about the pleasures that they can bring to themselves. And they're running a race for themselves to bring pleasure for the weekends. Our race is different. And we can become distracted with watching the world run their race. The world is just constantly begging us, come, come, come race with us. It's simple as the garage guy that I use. He likes to go to NASCAR on the weekends. And you know, he has his car and he has it loaded up and he's living for the weekends. And he's like, Vernon, you ought to come with me. I have no desire to go to your NASCAR race. See, our goals are different. We cannot become distracted with the things of this world. You put it in there. But am I keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ? Running a race with my eyes set on him? Or am I distracted with the things of this world? What has my attention? If I'm running with my eyes focused on the things of this world, I'm never going to make it to my goal of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangle him with himself with the affairs of this life. And so it's so easy to become entangled with money, business, our hobbies, entertainment. You put them in there. There's many things that want to take and distract us from the race that God has placed us on. We have the distraction of being self-focused. Running a race, thinking about me. Me, myself, and I. Matthew says, he that is the greatest among you shall what? Shall be your servant. See, God has given us the answer for this distraction of being self-focused. When I become self-focused, I want to think about myself. But Jesus said, if you want to be great, if you really want to be somebody, be a servant. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. We're running a race together. Together. We're concerned about each other, not concerned so much about myself. And a thought that I came across was a self-centered runner will eventually run alone. Are we running together, or do you want to run alone? It really says where our focus is. A self-centered runner will eventually run alone. We also have the distraction of just being weary. I think all of us older people can relate with this one. Of, you know, you're running a race, the race of life, the journey that God has put you on, and we get tired. We just get wore out. We've just been about at the end of our string, and I just don't know if I can go any farther. We can't stay there. But a lot of us find ourselves there. Just being weary. Just being so tired that I have no time, no desire for God. Because I'm so busy focused on my business, my work, my hobbies. There's weariness from grief, the loss of loved ones. And that's huge. And it wears us down. Just stress. Maybe it's family burdens. Could be financial pressure. Could be just disappointments of life, whatever they are. Well, all of us think we're going to have this rosy life or running and everything's going good, but life don't work that way. And all of us have disappointments with life, the way it's turning out. And there's times when we just have to say, God, you're in control. God, I'm keeping my eyes focused on you. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's Galatians 6:9, very familiar verse. Keep pressing on. Don't give up. We need people who can keep going, who do not faint, who continue to pray for each other, who are not alone, and that are there to care for each other. The sixth point that I have is we must adjust our pace for the weak and the weary and to be willing to carry a fallen brother as needed. We must adjust our pace for the weak and the weary. See, it's not about winning the race. It's about being faithful in our race. And when we're faithful, we'll get to where we want to go. And as we run that race together, the faithfulness we take each other with. But we have youth here. We have young men. Their energy abounds greatly. I couldn't help but think about, my wife and I did a hike at Colonel Denning State Park, not that far from here, way back in our earlier years of marriage when we had little children, and a young person invited us to go along. They said, it's an easy trip, bring your children, we're going to have a good time. Well, there's a difference between young people and parents with children. And the young people took off and up they went. I don't know how many of you have ever been to hike that. Colonel Denning has a really nice lookout. And they were going up to look at this lookout. And my wife and I and another couple were struggling along with our children. And before long, young people were gone. They were doing their own thing. They had the energy, but we didn't. And we had children. And I had a child on my shoulders. I was carrying somebody, and there was another young couple, and I was helping them with their children. And we walked, and we walked, and we walked. And you know, it's kind of a picture of life that it just feels like we're left alone. We're struggling with our journey, and I have this trail I need to walk. And it's difficult, and we're running out of water. And it was a hot day, and it wasn't fun anymore. And it's just like, can we just get there? And eventually, here comes the youth, and boom, they're coming back toward us. Hey, it's really nice up there, you know. I didn't get there yet. I said, well, what did you see? Well, it's beautiful. It's a great place. Keep going. And we keep walking and keep walking. And you know, let's just play this scenario out. That was a real life happening. But suppose those youth would have came back and he would have said, it's beautiful up there. We want you to make it. Here, we're going to help you. I needed someone to help carry some children. I needed someone to take my child and just say, come along. And that's a picture of our life as we're going through life. Maybe we have friends and neighbors or someone you're relating to. And you say, the Christian life is worth it. Keep going, brother. Keep going, sister. Don't give up. And we just go on our merry old way. We need to take time to help them. Take time to come beside them and say, can I help you? I want you to experience what I've experienced. To finish our story, we never did get there. We walked till we were too tired to walk anymore, and my wife said, I'm just done. I cannot go another step. And I think I might have went up to the edge, looked over, and came back. But I thought we were going up there to have a good time. And instead, it was a lot of work. We must adjust our pace for the weak and the weary. Take time to help the struggling person. We're not all running at the same pace. And there's times when I need you to come beside me and say, Vernon, keep going. Don't give up. There's times when you need to do that for the brothers. There's times when you do it for your coworkers, the people that you relate to in life, that you come beside them to a godly person and help them in their Christian life. Keep going. We run this race together. If you're at Hebrews 12, we could jump over to verse 12. It talks about, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. Sounds like a feeble person, doesn't it? Someone that's trying to go, and they're just wore out, and their hands are down, and they're just bent over, they're stooped over. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And they just can't walk. Their knees are wore out, and we're just done. Come beside that brother and lift them up. Sometimes a discouraged person does not need to be pushed harder. They just need to be strengthened to help. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we're thinking about togetherness. As a church body, running the race together, here to help each other. Hard here to help each other make it to our eternal goal. God didn't design his people to carry burdens alone. He designed us for each other. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 is a verse that's often used at weddings. It says, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. And I like that verse for tonight, to think about that we are on a race together. And if I fall, hopefully the one's up. And then maybe there's times when I'm up and the next brother's weak. We need each other. Seventh point that I have is we must learn to walk while we run. Now, this might sound strange, But I believe it's a concept that I want to present tonight, that running the race is not about getting out and getting ahead, but it's a relationship walking with God. I like the thought where it says that Enoch walked with God. It's in Genesis 5:24. You know, Enoch was a man that lived a long, long time. 365 years, was it? And it says, Enoch walked with God. He didn't run ahead of God. He didn't fall behind. God was leading and saying, come on, Enoch, get up here. Keep running. He walked with God. It was one-on-one. And I see God and Enoch walking down that road together. And they spent many an hour in conversation, talking one-on-one. It was a walk of relationship, relating back and forth. And Enoch's talking to God, and God's talking to Enoch, and they have a wonderful relationship, year after year, until eventually God looks at Enoch, and he says, Enoch, you're closer to my house than your house. Why don't you just come on home? And Enoch went home with God. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God taking his saints home? Enoch, you're closer to my house than your house. Come on home. That's really the final race, is when God says, brother, sister, come home. You ran your race. You've been faithful. We've walked this race together, side by side. We have a relationship. Micah 6:8, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and what? To walk humbly with thy God. It's a race. Yes, it is. But it's also walking together with God. Not faster, not slower, together, side by side. We could say hand in hand. It's walking together. See, God is not interested in how much ground we cover. He's simply interested that we are walking with him. A lot of people are trying to win attention, but God simply wants us to live a life of humility. Or maybe Christians are out trying to outrun each other, but God is teaching us to take time for each other. Ephesians 4 says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with all longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Think about running together. A person that is lowly, long-suffering, forbearing. And that's all traits that we're going to need as we run a race together. Because I can't measure up to you. You can outpace me. But in a church family, we work and we walk together, running a race together. And my last point is we must finish faithfully together. Already alluded to that. You know, we can run this race so perfectly. You can run for 26 miles and fall over and not make it. But we want to run the race together faithfully to the end. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I like Paul's testimony there. Paul says, I ran. I gave it my best. He didn't say, I beat him. I got ahead of him. I'm faster than everyone else here. No, that's not what he said. He said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Being faithful. Brothers, be faithful. Sisters, be faithful. In this race of life, we need faithfulness. We need to endure. We need to finish the race. Revelation 2, verse 10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. When we are faithful and we can complete the race that God has put us to, we can collect a reward. All of us can win, and we will win. We can have the prize of eternal life, forever with our Father in heaven, but we have to run the race that God has given us. Run together. Not by ourselves, but together. In closing, I'll just read the verse again. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and run the race together. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.